And Rime means what?
Rime is the Tibetan word which means non-sectarian or non-biased. Ri means bias, and me means not. So it's a name given to, most recognizably, a movement in 19th century Tibet that was started by the forefathers of Trungpa Rinpoche, including his own previous incarnation. So Jamgon Kenpse Wangpo, the great, the first Kenze Rinpoche, Jamgon Kontrol Lodo Taye, the first Jamgon Kontrol, Chujur Lingpa, the great Tertön, and Petrol Rinpoche and Nyipan Rinpoche were succeeding aspects of it. And it created an incredible revolution of resurgence of practice and study in Tibet. And of course, its emphasis was on preserving the teachings of Tibet, not from the point of view of trying to bring them all together and make them all sit on the same zafu, but to let each preserve each tradition in a way, respecting that each tradition is completely unique. Suitable for a certain kind of people. People are unique. The traditions, there's 108,000 dharmas. So it created an incredible wave in Tibet. And that wave is what brought the practice lineages out into exile as well. And that's the wave of the ocean of Dharma, of which Trungpa Rinpoche was such a brilliant representative of.
It's almost like the Rima teachers managed a way to put everything on a zip file so that he could be carried across the Himalayas. And, you know, the teachers that we all know and love somehow or other took that zip file, which would be totally incomprehensible to us, and began to... What do you do with the zip files? You download them or something?
I guess you open them up. You unzip them.
You unzip them, yeah.
Very sensuous.
Yeah.
You reach back behind the back of the lineage and unzip the zipper.
Yeah, and then they all come out. Make it mine, unzipped. It's amazing.
Well, it's true. Of course, you know, with the Terma tradition, when people discover the teachings hidden by Padmasambhava and Yesé Tsogyal, often they're just a few syllables that are utterly undecipherable.
The zip file.
And then, you know, because of their mind and their realization, they can unzip it. And then it comes out and becomes a practice, a view, and a culture.
You know, when Trungpa Rinpoche had an experience of Vajrayogini, direct experience, he said that when she appeared, she was rather sort of pink and light. And as time went on, she got darker and darker. But at one point, she unzipped herself, unzipped herself and showed him the dakinis, the various chakra dakinis. But he says he unzipped herself and showed him, you know, here they are. So there might be something to this, you know, zipping, unzipping.
I think there's something to this. I think you're right. I'm gonna look up the Tibetan word for zipper tonight.
Zipper tonight.
I'm sure there is one. Particularly with Sangha, and Sangha has been a large part of Rime society, and it's the only reason we exist, because none of us who, you know, are serving on this committee are doing it because we want to create an organization. We worked in organizations our whole life, and as Ringo Tokar Rinpoche gave a wonderful talk about Rime spirit to us, about 100 people came, and it was really a wonderful talk. Just about, and remade the basis, basically what he said was appreciating difference, not trying to make things one.
Or equal,
but right. Appreciating the difference in things. And it's that kind of perception. So when you talk about appreciating different things that spark you, it's like that, I think.
It's discriminating awareness. It's prajna.
Exactly.
You know, this is this and that is that, and they're not in conflict.
That's right, and they all have their own expression, and you don't need to obstruct it, and if given a chance, those things just take natural root. They're like throwing seeds.
So of the students that you have at Rime, the people who come partake, the members, I would say.
I'd say members.
The members.
We're all students.
Are we students of different people? I mean, are you... You have different teachers, people who will study more with this person or that person, or study more Shambhala, or study more Nyingma, or Kagyu. I mean, it's quite broad, isn't it?
It is broad. And that's a good point, because that's one of the differences. We've really appreciated it. There's an array of people, even of the old Trungpa Rinpoche people, what they're doing, what teachers they study with. Some people don't study with any teacher since Trungpa Rinpoche. Some people have made those connections. There's people who, we have a few people, and we want to expand that, who are students of other teachers. And it's wonderful to include them. And in fact, they're including us in the sense that it's always amazing to hear a perspective from another teacher and how their unique presentation illuminates your own understanding and broadens it. So that's been great. And so we do have a pretty wide variety of people, personality-wise, but when we get together, it's just amazing. The cohesiveness and the energy that just arises spontaneously when we get together and do a practice or study. And I think that's been the most, I don't know for sure because we don't do surveys so much. We're going to, but I think that's probably one of the most poignant things you, when you get people together who are Trungpa Rinpoche students, then the environment just bursts into flame. And of course we know that that's what the practices do if you do them with an open mind and sincerely and you know, with some sense of being present, then the practices create that space and fire at the same time.
So what are you doing so that that spark of fire can burn the whole world? How are you bringing it out of the ocean the Dharma Ocean room in Boulder so that more people and more students, more Vajrayana students. By the way, does one have to be a Vajrayana student to be part of the, and how would you define that?
No. In fact, we've been trying to create a situation where younger people and newer people could come. That'll take a while. We tried to run a course for based on Trungpa Rinpoche's teachings for new people. It didn't enroll, and we realized at some point that our generation is not hooked into the social media way of communicating. So we're now just at this time, we're making connections with younger generation people who, you know, say, well, of course you didn't get any, you only got two people signed up for that course because, you know, we didn't hear about you because you weren't texting us.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Texting or Facebook or whatever, right.
So yeah. We have a website now. We have a Facebook page. The website is skeletal, but we're going to build it up now. Last summer, we became a nonprofit organization legally, and we put our website up. We have a wonderful website designer who's a practitioner himself, and it's been really great, Nandazip. And we have a Facebook page that we haven't really paid attention to yet, but we will. And in that way, we have a broad spectrum social media presence, but then, you know, the trick, not the trick, but I think that the thing that will be most effective is once you get a few individuals talking amongst themselves by texting or whatever, then people start to click in. And so, for instance, we were talking to a friend of ours who's been involved with us and taught for us too, who teaches at Naropa. And she asked a few of her Naropa students, and they said, oh, we had no idea about the Rime Society. We'd love to have access to Trungpa Rinpoche's teachings. So we're working on that, you know, making it affordable to students and, you know, trying to create opportunities where there'll be other young people. And meanwhile, you know, there is a large group of Vajrayana students from Trungpa Rinpoche and then a few people from other teachers. And we have programs that are restricted to Vajrayana students because of the Samaya commitments around having received transmission. And then we have things like we're doing now. Evam, which is one of the most profound seminars that Vijayadara gave, we're watching the videos of the Evam seminar. And it wasn't restricted to Vajrayana students. There was some preparation for it, but so we've opened that up. And basically, it's wonderful for the Vajrayana students because you have to discuss things with non-Vajrayana students in a way that you can all understand and not use code language.
Like he taught us.
Exactly.
Right, this is the real challenge.
Yeah.
And you're becoming part of a sort of constellation of movements all around, I think, North America. I don't think it quite has happened in Europe the same way, of like the profound treasury programs, different emanations of the same desire in other cities, right?
Well, here too, for instance, Bill Carolus has started a place to sit, which is in Boulder, and they actually have a place, which is wonderful, and we really appreciate that we can, if you know, that we can tell people there's a place you can go and have a regular meditation schedule. We don't have a regular, we don't have our own place, so that's great. We're kind of more education oriented,
like Nathan School.
Yeah, a bit like Ngedun School, and then we're working in more practice with the Sadhana Mahamudra. Last summer, we had a few Vajrayogini sessions and a Vajrayogini feast at Greg Braybold's house, so we want to spark that more. We want to really kind of work on the practice aspect more and bring that into it. We obviously have practice at our classes, a minimal amount, but most of the practice people do on their own. They're more... you know, their regular practice, and then we come together. But we want to create more group practice. And then there's a group in Philadelphia, Wisdom Seat. There's a group, of course, in New York,
Westchester,
and John Baker and Derek Kalaney. And John Baker's hosting a meeting just coming up in April in New York City to look at the possibility of creating a center in downtown Manhattan, which would be wonderful. There's a couple of groups of people who get together in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's Ocean, there's Chronicles of Chögyam Trungpa Rinpoche. So it's, you know, amidst the drought, a bunch of mushrooms are coming up miraculously.
Yeah, we're good about hanging out and shit. We just have to get, like, you know, creative and get over ourselves.
Yeah, there you go.
Stop wallowing on it.
Yeah. Rime now has acquired a state-of-the-art video equipment. We have state-of-the-art recording equipment, and we're building up a library of talks and classes and teachings, and we're needing to put more effort into melding that into the website and making it available. But that's one of the things we want to do that may be larger than just having the Boulder community, which is wonderful in itself, but to make certain things available. We had a very interesting class called Unceasing Thunder that we ran last year, and it was on the different ways that Chögyam Trungpa Rinpoche transmitted the Vajrayana understanding.
Goodness. Including art and family and
yeah, I'll just
everything.
Tell you very quickly.
Yeah.
Tanya Leontov talked about the early days and the Ati teachings that Rinpoche gave and the history that he experienced in Great Britain.
And that's all taped, right?
No, that wasn't taped.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. And for good reason. She was very, very heartfelt and intimate about. Judy Leaf talked about editing. I gave her the title. I don't know if she liked it or not. Editing Down the Vajra Bones. The Profound Treasury of the Ocean of Dharma and the Challenges of Presenting Vajrayana to the New World.
Okay.
She said at the beginning, I haven't heard this word New World in a long time. Park came up with it from somewhere.
From his experience with the American Indians.
That was in Dvorak. David Rome gave a wonderful talk on creating secular and spiritual mandala daily life with the Vajradhara. Jim Jensen talked about the Shambhala teachings and the Imperial Yana. It was a really wonderful talk about, you know, in some ways, you know, how we who are not directly involved with the Shambhala community might carry the Shambhala teachings on. Lee Worley did talk about art as transmission, and we want to do what more with art, creativity, language, and culture next fall.
Brilliant.
And have we're going to do a series of speakers just like this. Reggie Ray talked about, the title of his talk was What It's Going to Take for Vajrayana to Survive in the West. What he actually talked about was a bit different than that, it was a really good talk. And Sherb Chutzen Kohn had presented some of the Ati practices and teachings that he'd received personally from the Vajradhara. because that was where his heart was, and so he talked about that aspect. And Greg Raybould talked about, it was called the Diamond Tapestry, Vajrayana, transmission from the Vijayadhara, Toku Ujin, and the greater lineage. And he mostly told stories, which were wonderful stories. And he spent a lot of time in Asia also, of course, and with Toku Ujin and other teachers, and he's been to the physician to many of these teachers. And he has a wonderful way of telling stories. Once you open that box, there's thousands of them. And he was able to give a few of them. And so anyway, that was very interesting, and it made us realize what a wealth of experience that's just been kind of not forgotten, but just kind of in a slightly hibernating stage. And once you give the opportunity for people to talk, wonderful stuff comes up. And not only that, with this series, for instance, David Rome and other people who worked in the Sangha, we had a relationship with them, or distant or close, whatever, 20 years ago. But for him to now talk about personally what it was like for him 20 years ago, being in daily contact with the Vijayadhara, was so personal and so heartfelt that it gave us a whole new view about what happened then. And that was true with everybody. So we would like to further record people, preserve that for the future, make it available. And that's our kind of motion forward. We want to sponsor further. For instance, we're going to be co-sponsoring with Pat Johnson and Trungpa Rinpoche students in Boulder, a teacher to come here who lives in Australia. His name is Khenpo Rinpoche, and he's a holder of the Jonangpa school, which, as you may know, almost got wiped out in Tibet, but it went underground and survived, and now it's...
Buddha from Dolpo, or... What is it called?
Well, there's a book about a Buddha from Dolpo, yeah.
It's a mountain dharma or something, isn't it? It's called something like that? Well, Trungpa Rinpoche taught about it in Colorado.
Yes.
Yes.
And this Rinpoche, who lives in Australia, has, interestingly enough, a center there called the Rime Center. And he's a Rime Lama. Comes out of that wonderful matrix of genius and astounding teaching, which of course is actually traced back to the Buddha and to India. If you look back at it, it's the kind of original spirit of Buddhism as it meets each generation. And so this Lama is also the lineage holder for the Kalachakra tradition of the Jonang school, going back to Taranatha, a great a scholar and practitioner in Tibetan history. So he's going to talk about that Kalachakra tradition. And of course, we'd like to ask him, because in Tibet, the source of the Shambhala tradition is with the Kalachakra.
Well, to end, and hopefully not mix too many metaphors, the image that I get listening to you speak is the baton was passed. And the baton was passed to all students of Trungpa Rinpoche, even the ones who never met him, and even the ones who weren't even born, right? But there's a sense of something's being passed. And we have, many of us have probably felt that we fell down and scraped our knees and everybody ran all over us and whatever. Yeah. But, you know, we get up and we keep running. And I think you're doing a magnificent job, you and everyone in the Rime Society, of picking up that baton. And cares if you're limping? You're passing it on. You're passing it on, and it'll just keep going and going and going.
Yeah. Well, I think so. It's, this thunder will never end. So I think it will, but that's at the same time our challenge, because we would really like to make this particular expression of the Dharma available to the younger generation. And I think the thing about it is that given Trungpa Rinpoche's incredibly wide appeal to so many different kinds of people, and it's only since his death that we all realized how amazing it was that we got along, because so many of us are very different, that it's inevitable that the expression of his teachings is going to take many directions. And I prefer to see it as branching, or as I described it in one essay that I wrote, it's like a a dandelion in a gale forest wind, that his teachings are going to just spread in many, many different ways. Rinko Tokun Rinpoche said a couple of very interesting things. Judy Leaf and Peter Voltz and I had an interview with him. And he travels all over the world. He's the representative of the Karmapa in most of the, in a lot of the world. And he's exposed to a lot of what's going on in Europe, in Asia, all over Asia, and in America. And he's a wonderful teacher. And he was, you know, he met the Vajradhara when he was a young lama at the Young Lama School. And then he received the first spontaneous abhisheka of the Sadhana Mahamudra when the Vajradhara came down to Delhi from Bhutan. So he's got a very strong connection with us. And he said, you know, if you take all the people who studied or are involved with any way with Trungpa Rinpoche's teachings, whether it's Shambhala International, whether it's other groups, everybody, you take them together, you're all just a tiny fraction of the people in the world today whose life has been profoundly changed by being exposed to Trungpa Rinpoche's teachings. And then he said, it's extremely important that Trungpa Rinpoche's, especially his Vajrayana teachings, be continued for the sake of the world. And so it was some kind of validation for what we're doing. And so we're coalescing like molecules, like atoms into a molecule from the various groups around the country. And we hope to be able to coordinate our efforts and go forward.
Clark, thank you very much for zipping and unzipping and zippity-doing. And I thank you on behalf of everyone who is interested in the Dharma and in the mind of Trungpa Rinpoche. And I think that for many of us who studied with him or have heard of him or so on and so forth, if we don't serve, we die. Yeah. So may it keep you alive for a long time so it can all be passed on.
Well, thank you. It's delightful to talk to you. And don't forget to vote.
Oh, God. No. Thank you.
You are listening to Mosaics on Chronicles Radio, a production of the Chronicles of Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche. Support for this programming comes from our listening audience. To contribute, visit chroniclesradio.com and click on Support This Work. Thank you for your support, and thank you for listening to Chronicles Radio.
Thank you.